Horn in Lake Geneva. I'm Linda Fleshensky, the host for our program, Heroes in Our Midst. You only have to read a paper, listen to the news, or look around your community schools or places of work to see that anger and violence are major issues in our world today. All of us have seen those individuals whose first reaction in life is to lash out at others with aggressive words or actions. And yet there are heroes among us who are working and have worked for years with programs to assist individuals with anger management, with self-awareness, and with healing of themselves so that they can move on to better futures. With us today is one of those individuals, a true hero in our midst. Doris Labraska has worked for over 30 years in addressing the issues of violence, and today she will be sharing with us the strategies that have helped so many in our community to move beyond anger and toward healing. I'm honored to have you in our studio today, Doris, and I thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Tell me, Doris, for our listeners, you run all day long, day-long sessions for anger management through your program and UW Parkside's program, CCV, Controlling Community Violence. Mm-hmm. Who attends these sessions?
Actually, people of all walks of life. I mean, they come from different social, economic, gender, race, you know, all the different levels of really humanity, even from the ages of 17 up into the 60s.
And are they mostly individuals who have had some issues with the courts, misdemeanors?
Yes, they have been arrested and or convicted of either, it's not domestic abuse is the area that it could be with, with significant others, but it's a criminal misdemeanor kind of stuff, battery, disorderly conduct, criminal damage to property. So those are basically the charges that are brought. And the referrals come from judges, from the district attorney's office, public defender, probation. So they come from all different areas.
And can individuals just who hear about this, can they contact you or someone about attending?
If they want to. I kind of chuckle because
it doesn't happen too much.
No, not really. Although after they've come, they say, you know, I should have been here a long time ago and I know people that should be here. And also we encourage the significant other to come if he or she is willing. But they have to be willing to participate in such a way that they're able to tell their story about what brought them into contact with the system. But if people would just like to come for their own growth and all that kind of stuff, they're more than welcome to come. They pay their fee. They stay the whole day. But in all these years, it hasn't happened too much.
Do you think, Doris, about running a session? I've got to get to this, but do you think about running a session sometimes just for individuals in the
Absolutely.
Community? Okay.
In fact, you know what I would call it?
What?
Meditation, mindfulness, and healing.
Wow.
Because that's how I started, really, when you talk about my interest was not, it didn't reach or extend to the criminal justice system. But growing up, I probably drove my parents crazy because I was always asking about the truth of everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why are we here and all that? So I was really basically into spiritual psychology and philosophy. And then one of the main purposes or reasons, I'm sure everyone comes to their own realization, that we're here to change and grow. We're here to learn.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to become. So basically, that's how it kind of started with me.
Yep.
And then I became familiar with, I started to know Judge Flynn, who really wanted to do different kinds of programs over and beyond incarceration.
Yeah, the courts are very, very proactive in trying to address the inner issues now.
But that was way back in 1989.
Right. Yes, the judges have written some wonderful things about you and your program. You talked, so that brings us to the whole issue of violence and anger. And you gave a quote for a definition for violence. Could you tell our listeners how you define violence?
Violence means we're violating someone's right to feel safe on a mental, emotional, physical, or spiritual level. And a lot of people that come, we do a little quiz early on to try to see where they're coming from in their head, their mind space, because a lot of them don't feel a lot of the things that we consider violent. I mean, they think they almost have to kill someone,
right?
Punch them out. Or criminal, you know, something very serious. But we talk about how there's many different kinds of violence that is lesser, maybe, on a mentally and emotional. It doesn't get into the physical. But things like, do you think hitting with a weapon is violent or without a weapon, slapping? A lot of people say no.
Yeah.
You know, and
some people say yes, as I understood you to say before.
Yeah.
Yes to hitting and punching, but no to if you call someone you love an idiot. Is that violence?
Well, yeah. So it comes, there's a lot of different ways that people understand that or don't understand that. And even the big thing on self-defense.
Uh-huh.
You know, they think, well, you know, I had a right to defend myself, but what they don't understand is that you can only use enough force to prevent or terminate, and it doesn't give you a license to kill anybody,
right.
You know? But that's
and
where...
Your thing about there are kinds of violence. What are the kinds of violence?
In what way? That they get arrested for?
Well, like verbal can be violence, too.
Oh, yeah. Verbal... when you intimidate a person by body language, or you intimidate a person by the words you use.
And is that an eye-opener for some of your clients who come to these?
Totally.
Uh-huh.
Because their mindset was coming from a place that, you know, maybe they grew up a certain way, and there was a lot of violence, and so they said, oh, yeah, everyone does this stuff,
right.
And so they get
everyone
over it.
Everyone says stupid.
Yeah, or they push and shove even and do certain things. And then where else does it come from growing up, TV and environment kind of stuff? It just comes from all over.
Mm-hmm. I know in the morning session that's what you told me is the difficult time, because they have to come to terms with, you called it a friendly interrogation, but how they got there, what do they have to do in the morning that's difficult
later
for them?
Than that. We go through, there's a video that talks about the different kinds of violence, and it kind of shows different men and women and what's going on, so we observe that. And then a little bit later, when there's a nice presentation by the district attorney's office, one of the DAs, or even Rich Giappetti, comes and gives a little about the future of habitual offender and all that sort of thing. I don't get into the legal aspect, but it's helpful for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally we get in, like after lunch, I call it a friendly interrogation. They have to tell their stories about when it happened, where it was, who it was with, a little bit maybe about what was going on prior the part.
So, Doris, when you do those, the morning session, particularly that friendly interrogation, I imagine that's extremely difficult for people. And, you know, do people cry? Do they get upset? Is it hard for them to explore what happened with them?
Well, they've had some time to think about it, but those that... should we say, are a little more self-aware, it might be easier for them to do it. But the people that are not, they're still in a lot of serious denial and resistance and unwillingness, and they just don't want to own it, I guess, because of their shame about it, embarrassment, guilt.
Mm-hmm.
And then those are the things we have to deal with so that they can release that. Otherwise, they'll never be free to change.
Yes. You know, you said that often those who have so much anger in them, they're quick to blame others, and they're quick to, and they're slow to take responsibility for their own actions. So are you able to help them see that? See that they're blaming others?
It's very easy to help them see that. And by that time, we've gone over a lot of that kind of material. So they know they're doing it. It's just a matter of, well, some of them take a long time to get over the anger of their needing to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they'll even say, I don't need, you know, all that kind of thing. And I say, well, very honestly, I have to tell you this, that of all the years I've been doing this, and it's been many and lots of people, and I tell them there isn't one person that I think to myself, oh, that person didn't need to be here. It's never happened in 25 or 30 years.
And I suppose they're also quick to say, I wouldn't be here except that my girlfriend
and all of that sort of stuff, yeah. So, but basically, I don't know if we mentioned this before, but when we start out in the morning, there's a whiteboard, and I have three words on it, and it's self, life, and relationships. So I ask them, I said, now before we start, think it over a little bit. What have you been learning about yourself? What needs to change either inside yourself or outside yourself so that you're not blaming other people? Because very honestly, you're going to hear me. The word you're going to hear me say over and over again is yourself. Mm-hmm. Because we cannot blame another person. The only person we can even attempt to control is ourselves. So,
and that's also really choice theory, isn't it?
Absolutely. Also about what triggers your anger. Mm-hmm. And some people blame it on drinking or that sort of thing. And that might play a part in it. But what I tell people all the time is that you can't blame it on, because there has to be in that pain body or that emotional area, there has to be all this unresolved issues of hurt or wounded or even abuse. Yes. Some have been abused. And, of course, you got to be sensitive to yourself, what you had to go through. But then you've got the only thing anyone can do is learn from it.
Mm-hmm. Because if you just keep going back and blame abusive parents or blame, then you can never move beyond that.
And you'll keep doing it, thinking that you're justified.
Yep.
And the only one that's going to be sitting behind bars, locked up in incarceration is you.
Yep. I love choice theory because it says you make your choices in life and you can't control other people. But when you choose to do something, you sometimes do change the people
around
you.
Yeah, but for us, that's a little more black and white. For people, it is not, because they're in that muck of not feeling good about themselves and feeling they don't deserve anything and they're no good. And so, you know, they're going to keep – it's hard to make good choices when you're coming from a very either unaware or negative frame of mind or attitude. And attitude is so key.
You just say such profound things, and I don't think you know you're saying them all the time, but you said that if you can't control yourself, you lose power over your life.
You give your power away.
You give it away. Mm-hmm. And you also, this one I wrote down, we were on the phone and I wrote down, so only when you move out of denial and own what you've done can you change it.
Yeah.
Own what you've done. And I don't think that's just people with misdemeanor. I mean, I think that's
absolutely all
of us. We have to own what we do and the responsibility for things that we do that are mistakes. And it's powerful stuff. When there is so much denial and so much anger, Doris, how can you make much of an impact in a one-day session?
Because
why do you think that is?
Because
it does make an impact. We've got
it does.
Rates
it really
to
does.
Show that. Yeah,
it's an. I think I mentioned it's an ongoing unfoldment.
Okay.
I mean, if I had started to really get into that so-called friendly interrogation stuff, sometimes it's not that friendly, but very honestly, in the beginning, it would have never happened. See, it gradually moves into some of the anger quotes that I mentioned that we start out with. It's a gentle, what should we say, progression. And the talking that we do, the interaction, you know, the part about the DA coming in and talking about the legal aspects. There's all kinds of ways to get people to start to see and make a change. And if they don't do it, some people, you know, can learn by hitting their head against the wall a few times. Other people have to hit their head against the wall 10 times. Some people never do it.
And that's, you know, that's a good part of that, too. That, you know, I think you ask them, what do you do with your anger? And you can do destructive things with your anger or proactive things.
You can use it assertively and constructive or destructively. But if people are in that bad space, they're not going to care. And it, like I talk about, even I ran juvenile programs that I co-created. I say to them, why do you think it's easier to work with you as a group than to juveniles? Well, some people get it right away.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't had any life experience. They haven't gone through a lot of different things that force you to think differently about certain things. They feel powerless. I mean, there's a lot of, but see, now you've got a lot of experience when you've gone through things. Even people, and I'll read that paragraph later, you have sometimes, no matter what you go through, it's always an opportunity to learn.
Yes.
You see, and then it depends on your belief system and if you've got a lot of spiritual strength inside that you can refer to, because then you know that it's about change and growth, and I can forgive myself and I can change.
Yes, and I love that you said forgive yourself, because so often when you're growing up, it's always forgive other people and forgive, and that's very, very important. Okay. But forgiving yourself is not used so much, and often we just blame ourselves so much for everything.
And another line that I read someplace, I choose to forgive myself for my past mistakes and the past mistakes of others.
Oh, that is a
it
really
has to start
great
with the
quote.
Self. Again, you go back to the self. It's all about the self.
That's right.
It really is.
That's right. You and I both talked on the phone about how everyone, all of us, were wounded and were broken to some extent.
Yep.
We might be broken just a little bit. We might have had a major life experience that breaks us or wounds us so deeply. And you call that the pain body. And I just think that must resonate with your clients in that session. Because it's surprising to think in a way that everybody's wounded and everybody's
Absolutely.
Broken.
In different degrees.
And to why do you use that pain body phrase, and how does that
because
relate to
them? Because that's what keeps us from making better choices.
Okay.
That's the way I look at it.
Okay.
You don't feel clear enough and whole enough. And, also that victim mentality.
Yes.
Is very strong with
yep.
abusers.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not it was from abuse or whatever.
Right. That they're the one that, yeah. I think sometimes, too, for us looking at other people in our lives, there's that phrase about sometimes when people are the most unlovable is when they need love the most. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of the people who come to your sessions probably very much need some healing.
Patience and mm-hmm. tolerance, too.
In the afternoon, I think you do some things to help people do other things to get their anger out. What are like some things that people can do?
I mean, for changing?
Mm-hmm.
Should I read that?
Sure.
Maybe a little
yeah.
bit later?
No, you could read it now.
Oh,
that's good.
Well, when we get into the area in the afternoon of change and changing the energy and changing the attitude is key.
Oh, yes.
You know, and they say, well, and there's other ways, but anger reveals itself not just from hitting or physical, but it's about control issues. It's about even anger becomes depression. There's all kinds of other ways. A chip on the shoulder, resentment. So people say, well, no, I don't hit, I don't do it. But they have all these other qualities that is really saying that that's what anger is. And when we start the afternoon also, we kind of shift into what's called, you know, changing, again, the attitude or the energy. Some programs in the past, I had them write a paragraph about change and why is it so difficult. And it is scary. It's scary
it's
for
scary.
Everybody, the unknown. But also it's about too fixated on the left brain ego. And it's about having to be right. And sometimes it's just the right timing for things. And,
right.
And also it's about deserving. Also it's about getting into your own self-empowerment. But back to the idea about change, this guy wrote, I thought, a good paragraph, and he kind of nailed it. He said, people can talk to you about changing your ways of life until they're blue in the face. The only change you can make is what comes from inside yourself. I know I've been there, he said. Jail, counseling, classes, prison. If you want to change your life, it must come from inside yourself. So isn't that what we've been talking
Profound.
About?
Profound. Absolutely. Choice theory. You just got it. Only the person can change. All the people around them that love them can't change that person
Absolutely.
Until.
But here's the other way mm-hmm. I like to repeat about what he said. Jail, constant classes, prison, as negative as it sounds, it all can help the person
yep.
learn more about themselves and choices. What do I value in life? Freedom?
Mm-hmm.
Or being told what to do and being locked up and having my dignity taken away?
And that's important for all of us when you
it
realize
is.
We're all broken. We're all yeah. broken to some extent.
Yeah.
And one of the things you do in the afternoon, time is going fast here, but is help your clients release energies. And I know that one of the things I was surprised at was that One of the releases can be sound release, and so you do something that might scare our listeners here, but explain what you do with the sound.
They can't believe, you know. I look at their faces, it's wonderful, because they start laughing, and laughing is a great healer. It's the best medicine. No, it's called Hara Training, H-A-R-A. I didn't invent it or anything.
Okay.
It's been around a long time. I've learned it through Eastern Indian and Native American Indian stuff, using sound. Sound heals. And we're connected to sound and color and all different kinds of things with our energy centers that some people, I mean, it's nothing new. People are familiar with. And so it's just using the word ha, H-A-H. But it's using it in such a way that it's not a primal scream. It's not done from the upper chest or neck. It's done from the gut area.
Okay.
And that's where we store a lot of negative energy and give people ulcers and indigestion problems and all that kind of stuff. Because, you know, the stomach and the head are connected.
Sure.
But it's a word, if you really want me to do it, I might have to.
I would like you to do it.
I have to back up
okay.
a little bit.
Okay, she's backing up away.
Ha! Ha!
Now, Doris tells people, you don't do that in court, and you do that, don't do that in the middle of your house when everyone's...
You can do it in your house, but not necessarily
but not
walking
with other
down the
people.
Street yeah. or to the person that you have to go for your return court date. I say, don't say
might
your
not
class
help you.
Told you to use the hot.
And other kinds of release that you
Well, a lot of breathing
about.
Techniques
oh,
and
yeah.
Different things like that.
Those
and
of us who've had children know about breathing techniques,
yeah,
don't we?
Yeah, and all of that sort of stuff. And when we get into the relaxation meditation, it helps to do these things ahead of time. Because if someone's coming in, which a lot of them do, with a lot of negative energy or bad attitude, they're not going to be able to sit still and clear the mind. And that's what relaxation meditation does.
And I know you talk with students about fair fighting and the importance of how we communicate with other people.
Absolutely.
What are some of the rules of fair fighting?
Well, the most important one, and I'm going to...
Maybe kind of...
The most important one is using I statements rather than you statements.
So instead of blaming the person there,
yes,
but you did this to me, but you...
Because then that's where the walls go up and defense comes out. Defensiveness is what happens all the time. And you got to make a commitment such as before you start, and this is taken from actually a book, and it's excellent, Constructive Conflict Resolutions, but it's called Rules of Fair Fighting. And just a few ideas. No violence or threats of violence are going to be used here. You got to commit yourself to that. And you got to be concerned for innocent bystanders, and you can't scream or yell because that would be a threat of violence to some people. Got to respect another person's space and stay in the present. You know, when people start with things, they go way back. And it's not pertinent, so you got to stay in the present. And it's hard for people to stay in the present because that mind, what is that mind doing for everybody? Oh, I shouldn't say everybody, but a lot of people. It's going into the past with regrets and grudges.
Uh-huh.
Or else it's going into the future with worry and fear and what if.
And that's not taking care of your own control issues, is it? I mean, it's not taking responsibility.
If you don't stay in the present.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You, I think in some ways what you do is life coaching. Do
it
you
really
do,
kind of is that.
And tell our listeners just a little what life coaching is.
Well, it's everything we're talking about.
And it's like...
It's getting your mind in the right place and correcting some negative errors in thinking, being willing to let go of the past, getting in touch with your emotions, being able to forgive yourself, and then you can forgive others, having patience with yourself because change and growth takes a long time. It's an ongoing cycle. And universal truth symbols, it's a spiral. It's a symbol of how it goes forward a little bit, but then back. We don't usually shoot straight ahead once we think we've got it.
Mm-hmm.
It's an ongoing process.
Before I talked to you, I always heard of life coaching as helping people to relearn how to do simple things like manage their money and keeping their places neat and get their sleep schedule right. But I think what you're saying makes more sense is you get yourself right.
It starts with the head and the emotions. And then draw on whatever spirit, you know, I don't get into the religious aspect, but I say, please acknowledge the fact of whatever you call it, your higher power, whatever you want to use, God, whatever you want to do in that regard. Because we all need strength, you know.
Yes.
We all need prayer and strength, and those that get it some other place, well, that's fine.
And I just wanted to say a little, too, our time's going fast, but you've had very good recidivism, improvement in recidivism rates, have you not, with the people who go through your program?
That started way back.
In fact, there was a study here from 2000 to 2003 that of 755 participants who complete the program, only five were repeat offenders. That's huge, isn't it? And and kind of one-day sessions. It's pretty amazing. Doris, what are the high points of what you do? In other words, when do you feel you've seen success?
Well, I don't look at it as success as a lot of people. Fulfillment. Mm-hmm, fulfillment. You know, at the end of each program, I have to honestly say that I feel good about it. It was fulfilling. And it probably most likely met the needs of most people. Mm-hmm. I would say 85, 90% got it. Mm-hmm. Now, I can't tell who didn't get it, but just what I get from the attitude, the energy, and what they write on their evaluation.
And I suppose the frustrations are people that you can't make a dent with.
Oh, no, I wouldn't even know that.
Okay.
That would happen earlier during the day.
All right.
When the attitude was almost difficult to work with. But I have to say that, and I don't think I even mentioned to you, of all the years I've done this, I've only had to release or kick out five people.
Wow.
And it was maybe drinking issues or a horrible power control where a distracted interruption and things like that. But I hardly ever release anybody because I give them a lot of chance because I think they just might learn something that can help themselves. And that's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. Helping people heal, absolutely. But they have to be responsible for what they've been doing and out of denial. Mm-hmm. Then they get their certificate of completion.
Yep. You must feel really good
about
these kind of rates.
And it's creative and different each time because depending on the people that come in there, they're bringing a different story base. Some are really even can be fun, and others can be a little more challenging.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always been worthwhile for me.
Mm-hmm. It's making a huge difference.
Thank you.
And changing, really, you know how they say, what's the Gandhi quote about changing the world by changing?
You've got to change yourself.
Yes, change yourself, and that's exactly what you're teaching. And
that's what the focus is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Without attachment to the outcome.
This time went so fast. I feel like there are a zillion other things that we'd like to talk about here, but it's been wonderful to have you here and to talk about these issues. So, among the many quotes that Doris shares with her students is this one: "I am too busy with my cause to hate, too absorbed in something bigger than myself. I have no time to quarrel, no time for regrets, and no man can force me to stoop low enough to hate him." That's a quote by Lawrence James. I would like to thank our guest and our hero today, Doris Labraska, for the work that she does in seeing that others are able to manage their own anger and move forward into more productive and fulfilling futures. Through your example and your work, you really are making a difference. And for that and for being with us today, we thank you, Doris.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And finally, thanks to you, our listeners, for sharing with us your time this Saturday. I'm Linda Fleshensky, and we hope that you go online at WGTD.org to hear this and other of our Heroes programs, and that you will tune in to WGTD HD on the 4th and 5th Saturdays of the month at 10:30 a.m. for more editions of Heroes in Our Midst. We salute the hero in all of you. Take care.
Support comes from Gene's Jazz Series at the Racine Theater Guild, celebrating Valentine's Day with Victor De Lorenzo, Janet Schiff, Scott Johnson, and 1913. And Triad with Brian Ford, Terry Peterson, and Jeremy Kreideman, Saturday, February 14th. To order tickets online, visit racinetheater.org or call 633-4218. Concessions and a cash bar will be available throughout the evening.
I'm Gregory Berg, and on Monday's morning show here on WGTD, we continue the conversation begun on Friday with actor and singer Bill Hayes, joined by his wife Susan Seaforth Hayes to talk about their many years on the NBC soap opera Days of Our Lives. Support comes from Carthage College. Learn more about the school's undergraduate studies program for adults on Wednesday evening, February 4th, in the Clausen Center for World Business. Most courses meet one night each week for a period of 7 weeks.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by John Nicholson, a retired Racine Unified Administrator, Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the Teacher Education Faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconser, an Associate Professor of